You're listening to the School Success Formula with me, Lucy Parsons. Welcome to today's show. Today, I thought I'd tell you a story because a member of the Extraordinaries Club, who also follows me on Facebook, asked me recently if I could share the story of how I became an academic coach. So, as it's Christmas week and we're all kind of chilling out and relaxing, I thought rather than sharing a how-to episode, I thought I'd share my story with you. So here we go. So I left teaching in 2010. I was on maternity leave with my first child, my daughter, when we decided to move from Newbury in West Berkshire back to Northamptonshire so that we could be nearer to both sets of grandparents as we brought our young family up. At the time, I didn't realise that I was leaving teaching. I thought I was just leaving that particular teaching job and I would find another teaching role when the family was ready. I did tentatively look for teaching roles and I even applied for a maternity cover, which I was offered. But for several different reasons, it wasn't going to fit well with the family, so I said no. It was lucky that I did because a few days later, I found out that I was expecting my second child and I don't do pregnancy very well. The first time around, I was anemic and had to have a lot of time off. The second time, I just couldn't stop sleeping and I really don't see how I could have coped with a teaching job the way that I was. So I ended up as a stay-at-home mum. But with the nesting instinct that often goes alongside pregnancy and childbirth, I'd rediscovered my love of sewing. I made all sorts of things for my babies, but was soon producing way too much for our household. I wondered if it was possible to sell things online and with a quick search discovered first Folksy and then Etsy, which are online marketplaces for handmade items. I quickly put together an online shop and started selling my offerings. Never having run a business before, I had a lot to learn about how to create a product that people wanted to buy and how to get my things in front of people. Sales did trickle in, but I soon found myself wanting more. That's the ambition in me, and it was like a new puzzle or problem to solve, and I find that fascinating and attractive. I came across a few blogs written by people who helped others grow their handmade businesses, and when my son was about 1 year old, I signed up for my first online course that was all about how to make more sales from your Etsy shop. Once I'd discovered online courses, blogs and podcasts, I became a bit of an addict. In retrospect, what I really loved was learning a whole new thing, how to run an online business, rather than the handmade business itself. I just lapped up any new information I could find, eventually setting up a blog to go with my handmade business. I really loved writing my blogs. I also discovered that the bit of my handmade shop I liked best and was actually best at was writing the item descriptions. I had found something that I was really good at and I loved. That was writing. So I signed up for another few online courses taught by somebody called April Bowles Olin, who is based in America. And she taught several courses on the Creative Live platform. The first course I signed up with her for was about blogging, but then she did one about how to create a digital product that sells while you sleep. I signed up intending to make digital patterns of the children's personalised cushions that I sold in my handmade business. But in her course, April said something that would change the course of my life. Teach what you're best at in the whole world. This got me thinking. I realised that there was no way I was best at making children's personalised cushions and other nursery wares. What I was actually best at, or at least better at than the vast majority of people, was taking exams. The next morning, I was going through the hustle and bustle of getting a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old out of the door for school and preschool. I was doing the washing up with April's words and the idea that I was best at taking exams going round and round in my head when I had the idea for my book. I would write a guide to getting the top grades in exams. By the time I dropped the children off at school, I had the title in my head, The 10-Step Guide to Acing Every Exam You Ever Take, as well as the chapter outline. By lunchtime, when I had to pick up my son from preschool, I had written two whole chapters. The book was finished 10 days later. I now had a book, a digital product that I knew could help many, many people, but I had no way of getting it in front of those people. The people who were buying handmade nursery products from my Etsy shop weren't going to want this book. I'd learned enough about business by now to understand this. So I set up my website, lifemoreextraordinary.com, and started running Facebook ads to build an email list so that I had some people who would realistically want to buy my digital book. My first blog post was called The Weekly Routine of a Straight A Student, and it is still kind of a pillar of the content that I share and teach to people. And I wrote 9 posts before I launched my book. I was against the clock because all this happened in the spring, and I knew that students would need my book as soon as possible if it was seriously going to help them with that year's exams. I sold 14 copies of my book at launch. Not massive, but as a brand new business with no history or long-term relationship with my customers, I wasn't overly disappointed. From here, I blogged every week, trying to sell more copies of my book and learning more and more about online business. Every time I sold a copy of my book, the family would dance around the kitchen singing, "Mummy sold a book, Mummy sold a book." It was that rare an occurrence that it was worth a celebration every single time. I also started working as a tutor. I had one client who was doing geography A-level who lived a half hour drive away. I would leave my husband putting the children to bed on Wednesday nights and drive over there, listening to business podcasts all the way. Next day, I'd take the £40 cash that I was paid each week for my tutoring, a pittance when you consider the planning and driving time as well as the hour I spent with my client, and put it into the bank through my local post office, saving up for the next course or investment in the business. At this stage, I won a place through an Instagram contest on an online course worth $1,000. I turned up religiously to the coaching calls. The course was about teaching you how to get one-to-one clients. I came up with a concept for a coaching session. I called it Get Motivated and offered my email subscribers, who were mostly female GCSE and A-level students at the time, 3 sessions for free. So that was 3 free sessions to 3 people. One of the girls who took up my offer for a free session was incredibly keen, and I could also see exactly how I could help her. The coach on the course that I'd won a place on encouraged me to go back to her family and suggest one-to-one coaching. They said yes, and I was thrilled and delighted and started working with her. In the meantime, I found another couple of clients, but I was also approached by the publisher, John Catt, who wanted to properly publish my book, which I was still selling as a PDF download. They literally emailed me after downloading the free chapter one evening, offering to publish my book. We negotiated terms and signed a contract. There was a lot that I wanted to change about the original book, and they wanted it to be 30,000 words rather than the original 14,000. I said I couldn't do the rewrite until my son started school in September, but that I'd have the manuscript with them by October half term. The day my son started school, I dropped him off, and instead of crying because my youngest child had just started school, which seemed to be what you were meant to do, I came straight home, turned the computer on, and started rewriting the book. I had to pick my son up at lunchtime every day for that half term, and that was also the time in which I had to write the book. I worked out that if I spent 1 to 2 hours every morning on the rewrite, I had 3 days for each chapter, which would leave me 2 weeks to do edits before handing it over to the publisher at October half term. If you know me at all, you'll know that I handed the completed manuscript of that book in on the exact day I had promised and was thrilled with the feedback from my editor that it was virtually perfect. The book was set to be published on the 14th of February 2017, so I had a few months to get ready. I set about several projects. Firstly, rebuilding and redesigning my website so it looked all posh and professional. Growing my social media following, so I had more people to tell about the book when it published, and learning how to get press coverage. Everything came together for the book launch. A few weeks beforehand, with the help of Janet Murray, who at the time taught small business owners how to get press coverage, I had an article published in The Telegraph, and you can see that the link to that article in the show notes for today if you're interested. This article was the making of the book launch. Very briefly, the book was the 106th bestseller on Amazon, outranking many celebrity books, and I had a sudden influx of inquiries about my coaching. From February half term of 2017, I was fully booked with academic coaching clients, working 3 evenings per week. I couldn't manage to do any more of that as the main child carer in my family. In September 2017, in an effort to be able to help more people, I launched my first online course, the Exam Success Formula. I ran the course twice that academic year, but realised from the feedback that people wanted support beyond the 8 weeks the course ran for. Driving back from a speaking engagement in school, I had the idea for the Extraordinaries Club, which now houses the course, now 10 weeks long, as well as offering ongoing support in the form of weekly coaching calls and masterclasses to families in the GCSE and A-level years. That brings us to today. I've been building and growing the Extraordinaries Club for over 2 years now. It has meant that I've had to take a step back from one-to-one coaching, but I now have a team of brilliant people who do the one-to-one coaching for me. So, as you will have seen, I didn't become an academic coach on purpose. The idea for my book was a happy accident or a moment of insight prompted by a good teacher, and the academic coaching, as well as the rest of the business, grew organically from that. However, when I look back, I can see the seeds of what I'm doing now in my whole life leading to this point. I come from a family of small business owners, mainly farmers, but my maternal grandfather ran a very successful printing business. I've always loved to write and had the ambition of being a writer. Education has always mattered deeply to me. My first job out of university was with Tesco.com, so the seeds of internet business were set early. I had a passion for helping ambitious young people like myself to succeed. So while it looks like an accident, in some ways it feels like my whole life was leading to this point. So what can young people learn from my experience? So what I'd like to say to young people is that you should follow your interests, notice what you're drawn to, and learn everything you can. You should pursue the projects you're passionate about and don't do things just because you're expected to. It might well take you somewhere unexpected, but it might just be where you were always meant to be. I hope you've enjoyed listening to my story today and it's given you a bit of a break from the usual routine in Christmas week. All it remains for me to say today is thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful day and happy Christmas 2020.